the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Whenever God gathers His church together for worship, it's so that we might receive and celebrate His love. Even tonight. It's never that we might scold and condemn those who aren't present. Never. Nor is it ever that we might wring our hands in despair or heap guilt upon those who've sinned. Even those who've sinned in the most grievous of ways. The Lord gathers His church, us, to receive sinners, to bestow His gifts, to be reconciled to those who hunger for righteousness. St. Paul makes no exceptions. Compelled by the Holy Spirit, he commands, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I will say, rejoice. Philippians 4:4. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a time to rejoice. This is a good time, a blessed time to be alive, to be a child, to have children, and to raise children, and to support those who do and who are. This is a good time and a good place to be a Christian husband or wife, father or mother. It's a good time to confess and praise God as we rejoice in His gifts of family, in all the vocations that family brings to society. Jesus lives. Our sins are forgiven, and He is coming back to bring us home. Rejoice! The world is a very evil place. Make no mistake about it. It has been since Adam and Eve first sinned. It's not like it only got this way in the last 20, 30, 40 years. It's always been bad since that first sin. It shouldn't be difficult for us then to figure out that killing babies is wrong. It's always been wrong. It shouldn't be difficult for us to figure out that Pharaoh is evil and the midwives are good. Clearly, the black and white hat go on the right people really quick. Sin, however, blinds us. And we get those hats mixed up. And we don't see exactly who's doing good and who's doing bad. Things get gray because Satan deceives us. No-fault divorce, legalized abortion, and sex change operations, things like these, didn't come about as sophisticated responses to difficult and hard-to-understand situations. They came about because sinful man wanted an excuse to do what our fallen flesh craves. In our fallen flesh, we're always looking for an easy escape from responsibility and duty. To be sure, there are godless people in this world under satanic influence who are possessed by demons, who are out there murdering and mutilating babies, and they're pretending that doing so is to provide health care. To be sure. But mostly the people involved are deluded and confused. They've been horribly deceived and misled. They've been fooled by the false veneer of the Hippocratic Oath and other high-sounding words. They're like sheep without a shepherd. They don't know what they're doing. They think children are a burden, a disease, or even a form of slavery, a hindrance to the life a woman could live if only she didn't have a child. Now, where are the midwives of Israel today? Isn't that a good question? Where are the midwives? We are the midwives of today. We must seek to help these people who have been misled, who are confused. Not only are the lives of babies at risk, but so are the lives of the mothers and the fathers and the nurses and even the doctors. Because you cannot engage in such evil like abortion and not be affected by it. Abortion not only kills a baby and does terrible, dangerous violence to women's bodies, but it also harms the souls and the minds of everyone involved. It's not just about the kids, and it's not just about the moms. It's about everyone involved in this horrible lie. You can't get raped and just walk away as though nothing happened. You are changed after that. You can't be violated and not be scarred. When you're violated, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, when you participate in evil, in murder and mutilation, even if you don't know what you're doing, or even if it was forced upon you against your will, it changes you. It scars you. It wounds you at the most personal level. This is hard to face. All this language is hard to face. The reality is hard to face. Remember those videos that came out not too long ago? The undercover videos that were going into Planned Parenthood and were showing the atrocities, they were extremely hard to watch. They were laughing. They were joking. And they were playing with the body. It was hard to see. It's evil. It does something to you to participate in this, even if you don't want to participate. Even us, we're scarred. We all want to look away from this topic, the ugliness of it, but we mustn't. God's exposed this evil for us. He has exposed us to it out of mercy. He would not have us be deluded into thinking that these are victimless crimes or that there isn't a cost to those involved. Or that it's simply a matter of political opinion. Someone said recently, within my earshot, the church is not a place to talk politics, and I said, wrong. This is politics. But this is politics that Scripture speaks clearly on. You heard three examples today in our readings. Just in the readings alone, not in anything else that we're working with. Scripture is very clear, and it is not our fault that it has been politicized. It is actually good that it has been politicized, because now we have things we can do. Now we can work. Now we can serve our neighbor in a very real way through the system that our state has, our country has. God wouldn't have us become complacent or half-hearted while babies are being murdered, women being violated, hurt, and souls deeply cut. Make no mistake, God is calling every one of His children, all of us Christians, He is calling us to action, to mercy, to compassion for the lost sheep whom He deeply loves and whom we are to love as well. Not just the murdered babies. They are easy for us to love in spirit. He's calling us to love those vile doctors who make their livings off of this. And all those CEOs at the top of those organizations who are pretending to be healthcare to make money off of this. He's calling us to love them. And to love everyone who's marching in that campaign for women's rights. It's not about women's rights. It's about life. and it gets ugly, and it gets hard, and he's calling us to love them, to show his light, the flame of Christ, to show it in the darkest of places. Not only does evil change a person, grace changes a person. Grace changes hearts, the hardest of hearts. We've been saved by grace, the grace of Christ, baptized into his name. And his redeeming blood is regularly poured into our bodies in the sacrament of the altar. We have the forgiveness of sins and the promise of heaven. We cannot despair, and we cannot hate. We cannot give ourselves over to hatred and rage. We who have gained so much by grace and love, who've been changed into whole new creatures, from sinner to saint, from lost to found, from servant to child, God's own beloved children. We cannot hold those who are suffering from abortion or other sins in derision or contempt. We cannot hate them. If we love God, we must love our neighbors, all our neighbors, because he loves them. We must recognize in them the very souls for whom God gave the life of his Son, and be unashamed to rub elbows with them, to receive and eat with them, even as we have been welcomed to eat with him. And he is unashamed to sit with us sinners. We must hold out to them hope and acceptance. The olive branch, right? The forgiveness and the peace, the healing that Christ has won for us is also for them. We must obey God rather than men. We must speak for those who cannot speak. But we must do so in a way that is loving and powerful in grace. We must pray for those who don't know they need prayer. We must tell the truth. No matter how uncomfortable things get or how high the cost, we must pray for those who are caught in a deadly lie and tell them the truth in love. And we must be ready at all times to give an answer for the hope that is within us. We have hope in the midst of this darkness. Even while the world is crashing down and evil seems to be rising up, we stand here with a smile on our face, rejoicing always amidst the rubble. And there's a reason for that. Because we're called to rejoice. We're called to rejoice because Jesus lives. And because Jesus is coming back to bring us home. To bring us to a place where this evil darkness doesn't exist. Where life is unending. Cannot be cut short. But will go on forever. So we confess our sins. First of all, we confess our sins. We confess that we sometimes have kept silent out of fear of retribution or just the opinion of others, what our friends and family might think if they know I'm one of them people, pro-life people, Christian people. We confess that we've held a desire for the pleasures of sex without consequences at some times. We've sought the benefits and advantages of a holy marriage without the work and cost of children. That we would try to restrict that and prohibit that. We must confess that we have contributed to this society that does the things it does today. That we have played a part, either active or passive, but probably both at some way. We must confess, and then we must repent and never do it again. We ask God to give us the strength and the courage to do better, that He change us and continue to change us by that grace we have received in baptism, and allow us, open doors for us to serve our neighbors as His voice among men, as His hands and His feet among men. For we not only confess our sins, but we also confess our Christ, our light, our hope, our life, the life of the whole world. And that's why and how we rejoice, because of Christ. We rejoice that God is good, even though this world is evil. And that He knows what He's doing with this broken world, even though it may look like He doesn't. And that He works through even the greatest atrocities to bring about life. He has not abandoned us. He didn't abandon His people in Egypt. He didn't abandon His people in Bethlehem. He didn't abandon His people at any time. He has answered their prayers, our prayers. He answered prayers of His people in concentration camps. He's answered prayers of His people in slave houses. He's answered prayers of people in bloody arenas. Those tied to a stake and burned to death. He's answered their prayers. The answer is right there. Christ, crucified, and then did what? Got up from the grave, defeating death and giving resurrection to every one of us who puts our trust in Him. He has never abandoned His people, but brought them to the reward He won for them by the cross and the empty tomb. He hasn't, nor will He ever, abandon us. He hears each and every one of your prayers. He's working all things together for good. Even the evil we know today. He's working in the midst of this garbage to bring about good. Somehow, some way, He's at work. And we rejoice because we know the end. We know the end of the story. It is heaven. It is eternal life. It is salvation. Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. And He's coming back to bring us home. He won't require us to stay in this evil place forever. We also rejoice. We should say this tonight. We also rejoice for the babies who live. Us. Those around us. We rejoice in their lives, our lives. Their laughter, our laughter. Their future, our future. We rejoice in the baptisms of those babies. In their prayers that they will offer. In their hope that they will have. We rejoice in the midwives and the doctors and the mothers who love and serve life. And for the courage that God gives them to be servants of life. We rejoice in His generosity and beauty, which He shows to us even in this evil place. This is a beautiful place, and if it's this evil, oh my goodness, can you wait till heaven where there is no evil? Can you imagine the beauty of that place? At that time, God is good. Our sins are black as tar, but in Christ, they're made as white as snow. I know y'all probably don't see snow very often, but it's that white. We are loved. We are saved. Pharaoh cannot have our children. So it is that God has gathered us here tonight to feed us with this word of his, and to forgive and to sanctify us in joy, his joy, Jesus. He is not done with us yet. Our hardships haven't ended. While we have not always been faithful to him or to our neighbor, he remains ever faithful to us, merciful and gracious. We have prayers to say. We have protests to attend. We have letters to write. And we have people to love, babies to care for, and hope for the future. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. In the name of Jesus, amen.